A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, along with Brian Lloyd, because we are out at Olson's Greenhouse today in Salem, and I wish you could be here with us. I'm sorry that you can't. But, Brian, this is an amazing place and an amazing family-owned business. Tell us the history of Olson's.
Yeah, Olson's Greenhouse. I'm actually fourth generation. My last name is Lloyd, but my wife is an Olson. And fourth generation, I have four siblings and their spouses that all work in the greenhouses. So Bart Olson and Yvonne Olson, my father-in-law, they were third generation, and they've really built the greenhouse since the 1980s. We actually started, my great-grandfather-in-law started the company back in the 1940s, just in his backyard, just growing plants as a hobby at first, mm-hmm. and then selling to the local farmers. He sold tomato starts, of all things, and then got into pansies and other flowers pretty quickly after that. But so we've been growing flowers for over 75 years.
So how many greenhouses do you have out here?
That's a question we always get, and greenhouses come in all shapes and sizes. So the greenhouse we're sitting in right here is about 4 acres big, so about 180,000 square feet. We actually have over 3 million square feet under cover is the way we measure it. So and we also grow a lot of stuff outdoors as well. So a lot of our perennials will grow straight outside. But true greenhouse space, we have about 3 million square feet.
You provide plants for Home Depot, Walmart, uh-huh. Costco, as you just reminded me. How many plants do you have? I mean, do you have any idea how many plants you grow every year?
That's another one that's tough to measure. We never actually have measured it because they
really
grow in all
them.
Shapes and sizes.
But
I would say seedling starts that we start out, we probably grow, it's in the tens of millions. There's a lot of plants that go through here because we turn the crops several times a year. We grow everything from spring bedding plants to fall mums all the way up to poinsettias for Christmas. So there's always something growing in the greenhouse.
Well, Ton can attest to this. You definitely have it down to a science.
Well, everything is gorgeous and everything is done well using best practices. So, you know, little chance of disease, everything, you know, is cement, or if it's not, then it's on ground fabric to keep the pests and diseases down. They're actually using a lot of non-pesticide disease and pest control measures, and so that's really good because the plants are going to be, you know, safe that way. And I've toured this facility several times, and they really are using the most modern technology to get the best plants to the general public.
Well, even for those of us who didn't maybe not understand the science, Brian, when I'm just looking out at your plants, when I plant things, a few come up here, a few come up there, yours are uniform, and all of the plants look wonderful.
It takes a lot to get to that point. It's a blending of art and science, and we have tremendous growers that have been with us for a long time that have a lot of experience. But more than that is the love they put into their jobs. They're constantly learning and growing, going to different seminars. We've just spent this entire week with the Home Depot team. And believe it or not, worldwide, Home Depot is at the cutting edge of all the new genetics that we were talking about at the beginning of the year. So they work alongside with us, and we start working with breeders 4 to 5 years out before a new variety is released to the market. And we bring that first we bring that variety into the greenhouses to make sure it can grow in a production setting like this. And then we put it into trial beds for a couple of years to see how it grows in our climate as well. So we're making sure that everything that's new is going to perform and succeed for you as a homeowner.
Okay, I said people can't come out and see us here in the nursery, but they can come out and see all the beautiful flowers. I know this is the time of year we always do Container Fest, and I know that those Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco are well stocked right now for people's containers.
Yeah, I'm sad as can be that we can't see you all out in person today, because this is the best part of my job, is getting out and interacting with all of our customers that enjoy the plants so much. And typically we're out and in the store doing this radio remote early in April and planting up containers with people. But today, because of COVID, hopefully this is the last time we'll have to stay in the greenhouse. But there's no better place to be shuttered away, right?
I want to tell our listeners, though, that you have agreed to do a quick video with us after the show to show them exactly how to put together wonderful containers. And then Caitlin's going to edit that for us and get it up sometime this week. So we're excited that you're going to do that for us.
You'll get a little glimpse of what we get to enjoy every day here in the greenhouse.
And that's awesome. Let's get back to our callers this morning. We have Rich in Draper. And good morning, Rich. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. I was taking it off speaker. This house I moved into at the end of the season last year, August, I'm seeing a lot of orchard grass popping up in the yard right now. It's there's one area that's just got a huge patch of it. The rest of it's just scattered throughout the yard. Outside of just digging it out, what are some options for me?
Well, let me ask first, does this start out as just popping up little sprigs here and there, and then it kind of coalesces into a solid turf?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Please, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Is it in solid circles, or is it more spreading?
In the section in the backyard, it's in a solid circle. Out front, it's just little sprigs that are popping up.
Okay, you could have a couple of different grasses that look similar coming up. The one that's in the solid circle is probably pasture fescue. And that one, if there's no Kentucky bluegrass in it anymore, I would just go ahead and spray it out first with some Roundup or something similar and dig it out and reseed or resod. But where it's coming up in the front and it's not solid, you very well could have orchard grass or another one that's even worse called quack grass. And so in that situation, if you want to avoid killing your lawn, what I'd recommend doing is stopping by a local farm store or jumping online and ordering what's called a wicking wand. These wicking wands, you can put your herbicide into, and it looks like a hockey stick. And the weedy grass usually grows more quickly than your Kentucky bluegrass. And when it gets up a couple of inches, you know, 2 or 3 inches above your Kentucky bluegrass, you just gently wipe this wicking wand back and forth over the tops of that grass without touching your Kentucky bluegrass. There are sometimes, I know that Scott's for a while had something similar, that it was just a ready-to-use, turn it upside down and go for it, or it had a little hose or something on it to do that. You may find something like that at Home Depot, but if not, then that wicking wand is going to be your best bet.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Let's take one more caller before we take a break now. Let's go to David in Spanish Fork. Good morning, David. What was your question this morning?
Yes, thank you. Hey, about 18 years ago, I planted what was labeled as a dwarf Fat Albert blue spruce, and I planted it off the corner of my house. Well, right now it's probably 22 feet tall. Base of the trunk is probably 14 inches in diameter and 4 feet, 5 feet off my foundation wall. Do I have any danger of that tree and pushing against my foundation wall with the roots?
Generally, so the Fat Albert spruce is a dwarf, but it doesn't stay 5 feet tall. And so if you had planted a regular blue spruce, it would be a third to double what you have as far as size. And so you have a half-size spruce in essence. But the roots, the one I've seen from spruce is their roots are fairly fibrous. They don't really do, unless your cement is right next to the tree, they don't really do a lot of cement damage. But if you have sewer lines, those roots, as they expand, can heave and crack the sewer pipes. That's been one of the main things I've seen with spruce.
Okay, yeah, I know we're probably probably 15 feet away from the sewer lateral, so we're probably okay there. Probably, like I said, probably 4 to 5 feet from my foundation wall. It's a cold storage area of my house, so it's part of my basement. I just wanted, hoping that, you know, there wasn't any danger of those pushing against the foundation wall. And if so, I would have to pull the tree out, but it's probably, like I said, 22 feet tall now.
Yeah. If it's 4 or 5 feet away, it'll be a number of years. It's just going to be more of a nuisance.
Okay. It is starting to grow into my porch area as well. So, But obviously the biggest thing was, do I have a danger of the foundation wall cracking?
Yeah, not really, at least not for a number of years. Right now, what you can do is go in at the base and start to limb that up a little bit if you need to.
Okay.
It's better to leave those branches if you have to, but if it's getting onto your porch and other things, you can limb it up a bit.
Okay, we'll do that then. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. The KSL Greenhouse this morning is being sponsored by Olson's Greenhouse. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. We are joined by Brian Lloyd this morning because we are out at Olson's Greenhouse. And Brian, let's talk about it. It's still early spring, but there are a lot of things we can start planting in containers and things. And what can we plant right now safely?
Right. You know, Olson's Greenhouse has been shipping into stores for several weeks now, so there's plenty of stuff we can plant. Not only in containers, which you can protect if we get some cold weather coming through, but there's lots of things you can put into your flower beds at this time of year as well. So I like to divide it into three categories, the early spring stuff and then the kind of the transitional stuff, you know, and then the later spring or summer stuff. The later spring and summer stuff we got to stay away from. It won't take temperatures into the 30s without getting some hurt taken to it. So those are things like impatiens, and coleus, things like that, we don't ship this time of year. But right now, you can plant early spring things like ranunculus that we talked about at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. or pansies. But there's a lot of transitional things that people don't realize they can get in early. Things like geraniums can go in right now, especially if you're willing to maybe cover if we get down into the 20s for temperatures.
Okay. So how about our containers, though? We can protect. So you can plant just about anything in a container that you can slip under your patio or porch or something.
Anything you can find in the garden center right now can go into a container, and that's the beauty of containers, especially the smaller ones. Or if you have a bigger one and you put it on wheels, you can either put it under the porch, and most people don't realize that buys you several degrees in temperature. On a freezing night, if you have it under the porch, that frost will stay away from the area directly under the hard surface that's overhead. But to be extra safe, you can take them into a garage or even indoors to your home and actually and put those plants back out as soon as the temperatures get up back into the upper 30s.
Anyone watching us right now on the KSL stream can see these beautiful Calibrachoa that you've been talking about, and they're definitely hardy enough to be out right now.
Yeah, Calibrachoa is in the petunia family, and petunias and Calibrachoa are two of the main transitional plants that I'm talking about. So you can bring those in, especially in containers, but you could even put them in your flower beds if you're willing to cover them with a sheet if we ever get into the 20s. But they'll take a surprisingly low temperature, but they really need 40s and 50s to grow and thrive. And so start planting your flower beds now. You've got the whole month of April to start buying and planting your Calibrachoas, petunias, and those types of transitional plants.
One of our texters did ask, are these the million bells that you hear about?
Right. So million bells is kind of a trade name, and was what the first Calibrachoa varieties that came out were actually called million bells by one breeder. But now there are so many different breeders working on these that we try to stay away from that million bells because it doesn't represent the entire category. But they do get a lot of flowers, millions of flowers on their plants, and they get a lot of color. And they're little bell-shaped flowers like a petunia, but I kind of like the common name. There's not a true common name for them, so I like mini petunia. But try and stick with the genus, which is Calibrachoa, and you'll be safe.
And you can see that on our KSL Greenhouse Facebook page as well. And you can find all of the plants from Olson's Greenhouse at Walmart, Home Depot, and at Costco. Let's take one of our text questions here, Tom. This person says they have questions about raised beds. What is the best soil depth for a raised bed, and what is the best weed control?
Well, on the raised beds, I would actually, there's a couple different things that you can do. The easiest one is a little more expensive, but you can buy a previously prepared mix. Sunshine products or Sunshine Horticulture mixes a lot of raised bed mixes for private label.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've used a couple of different nurseries' raised bed mixes and had good success with it. And it's just, you put it out there, you can plant it in it immediately, and you're just off and going. Now, if these are going to be large raised beds and more, you know, it's just going to be excessively expensive, then if they can find a sandy soil or a sandy loam and mix it one-to-one with compost and put that into the beds and then put triple 16 down, because their sandy soils are often deficient in phosphorus and potassium. So triple 16 would correct that. But those are the two options, sandy loam with compost or just a previously prepared raised bed mix, either bagged or in bulk.
Okay, we just have a couple seconds. How deep?
At least 6 inches, a foot is better.
Okay, and weed control, mulch, what are you thinking?
Mulch would be fine. There are not going to be a lot of weeds in there initially, but they're just going to have to do some hand pulling eventually.
Okay, you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse. We'll be back following the top of the hour news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.